Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
And now, for some reason, Billie Eilish singing the theme song from Friends.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way.
There you go, the emo version.
Your job's a joke, you're broke. Your love life's DOA.
It's a darker take.
You're always stuck in second gear.
Yeah.
When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year.
This is pretty cool.
It works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Works musically.
You know, that's good, Michael. That's really interesting because those lyrics are downer lyrics to an up-tempo fun tune where we all clap.
Sure. Right.
But she puts it in that context, and that makes perfectly good sense.
She's not cavorting in a fountain in this version.
Oh. Of course, in this one, Ross is like a cannibal or something.
They go ahead and show Chandler abusing drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chandler's his real-life heroin addiction shows up on the show.
Right, yeah. You know, the whole purring woman-child sex kitten approach to singing, I find it creepy. And I'm looking at you, Brittany. You started it. Or Eartha Kitt probably started it. But it made me uncomfortable.
The whole goth emo thing, I wonder if I got a kid that's going to go through a period of that where it's just...
Probably. Yeah. I saw an old family photo where one of my kids was absolutely down that road. It comes, it goes.
Yeah. One of the good things of being my age is I realize these kind of things come and go.
Yeah, you gotta try it on for size. Figure out who you are.
Yeah, I get it. I absolutely get it. I had one thing. Oh, good news. Good news, they are going to allow cameras and audio from the Jussie Smollett trial.
Oh, yes.
Because I think this is going to be damned entertaining.
Yes, please.
God, I really don't. I don't know what sort of charges he's facing or like what kind of time he's facing. I can't believe he's not telling his lawyers, settle. Don't let this go to trial. Don't let the world hear in great detail my moronic, embarrassingly stupid plan.
I think he's counting on A, he'll get a friendly black jury that doesn't care the facts of the case because he'll cry racism and they'll buy it. And B, that most of his people, by which I mean his would-be fans and that sort of thing, they're never going to hear the rough part of the trial. They won't have it on CNN. They won't air it on MSNBC.
This is going to be so hilarious. If you don't remember him, he's an actor who I didn't know, who claimed he was attacked in the middle of the night by some MAGA hat-wearing Trump fans.
Yes, white guys, 3 a.m., Chicago, it's like 20 below zero.
Had a rope and some bleach, and the term lynching got thrown around a lot.
Yeah, by Kamala Harris.
It turns out he hired a couple of dudes to kind of kick him around a little, and there's receipts for them buying the rope and the bleach like an hour earlier at Home Depot.
On camera. Hey, Jimmy. It's time to go out and do our racist patrol. Clem, it's 3 a.m. It's 30 degrees below zero. It's a heavily black neighborhood of Chicago. You think we ought to be ooching around in our MAGA hats and everything? I tell you what, the racism isn't going to do itself. We got to get out there and do it. Said nobody ever.
Yeah.
Juicy sommelier, as one of our emailers put it.
So the great resignation is going on. We've had several months in a row where astounding numbers of people have quit their jobs. Mostly, I guess it's believed that they're finding better jobs because of the tight labor market.
That's part of it. I don't think that's the main part.
You know, what's the main part?
The main part is that so much of life is just inertia. You're on a track. You're doing a thing. You're afraid to disrupt it because you're not sure what'll happen. And so you just don't. You stay on that track. You keep working for that company. And because the vid and the remote work are getting laid off or government money rolling in or whatever, a number of people have had their inertia halted. And they've thought, you know what? I'm going to reconsider this whole deal.
So they looked at some Gallup polls and talked to some experts and figured out what is the number one thing that will keep people around at their job. And that is
big old candy dish, free M&M's.
Candy dish with Jolly Ranchers in it or suckers. And everybody sticks their sweaty, grimy hands into the M&M
please don't.
Pile and picks out a couple.
There.
Now, it's having a best friend at work.
Ah. Yeah.
Having a best friend at work, you're more as twice as likely to be engaged in your workplace compared to people who don't have a best friend. So it's 60-30 on that, 63-29 actually. And they talk in here about how Zoom has made that damn near impossible. So if one of the things that keeps you happy at work, whether you recognize it or not, is working with some people you like seeing every day, and now you don't see them anymore, and it's just the job, I can see how it would be that way.
Yeah. You know, I was reading a piece. It was, I think it was the New York Times, but they were talking about how incredibly difficult this whole thing has been for young people getting into the professional world. And they never exchange the casual conversations, the what'd you do this weekend, and often that comfort leads to be able to just ask your boss a question, your supervisor, a quick informal question that's so much more formal and public on like a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, no doubt.
And how, so there's the social thing that's missing. There's the, you know, the quick, hey, if you have a second, what about thing that's become much more difficult for young professionals. And my daughter's in this position, and it's just, it's rough for them. I feel for them. And it's one of the reasons I'm really rooting for everybody to just decide, look, the COVID's going to be around. Protect yourself the way you think is fit. Let's get back to work.
I'm having a sip of coffee. I have good more man. Thoughts Sorry on this. But.
You know, I should get back to work and do what you do best. The business of America is business. Let's all come together lest we fall apart. Back to Jack, who's done with his coffee. I left you hanging.
I'm an introvert. I was going to say Luddite. That's a person who hates technology. An introvert.
Well, you're both, but.
Misanthrope.
Yes.
And I miss the number of people, not individual people really, but just the vibe of the people being around. I miss it. And it for a year and a half now, It's the few people that are on the air on the radio station are here, and nobody else. There's like 100 people missing.
Yeah.
And I miss it. It's not as, I don't know if fun's the right word, but probably is the right word. It just, there's an energy or something missing that I notice every single day. I come here, I do this job, and then I just kind of walk out to my car, and I think, well, I guess that's in the end of another day at work. It's just weird. And I'm coming in. If you're doing Zoom only, I can't imagine how weird that feels.
Well, the hustle and bustle of the parking lot, even running the people in the elevator, all that's to a large extent gone. It's just so weird.
Yeah, and if you start at a new job this way, I just can't imagine how you have any feeling of attachment whatsoever.
Right.
So the number one thing to end the Great Resignation, according to experts, like if you're a boss or something, you're trying to figure out how to keep people from quitting, figure out a way to make people interact, whether it's bring them back into the workplace or maybe have Zoom meetings where there's no business to be done. You're just all there. That's the trouble with Zoom, though. I notice all the time they're only one person gets to talk at a time.
Yeah.
So if you had 30 people on the screen, the pushiest, loudest people dominate all the conversation before the meeting starts. In a normal conference room, you're talking to your friend next to you because you sat next to each other on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And up until the meeting starts, you're kind of talking amongst yourself. Can you believe blah, blah, blah? Yeah. Can you believe the Lakers lost to the Kings over the weekend or whatever you're talking about?
Yeah.
But on the Zoom meeting, the one loud person gets to dominate all the talk up until the meeting starts. And nobody talks to anybody.
You know, I would say just to flip it on its head, and a lot of you astute people have already picked up on this, but if you are a supervisor, you're a team leader, you're a boss or whatever, understand that your new people are really uncomfortable asking you anything or saying anything. They don't feel like they know you. They don't feel like they have any status. They're much less sure of themselves than you're probably imagining.
I'm just picturing, though, the way the regular boss is going to handle this. So you're all going to be on the Zoom meeting. We're going to go around and everybody's going to get to share a little bit about themselves. Jenny, tell us about yourself so we can get to know you, which is going to end up being worse than if you had not done it at all, as opposed to like actually bonding with somebody that's your age or like you, or you notice them listening to music you like or whatever it is.
Right. There are no laughing together, you know?
I can't imagine. I think about my young years working, and I was at radio stations, but God, we had so much fun. And if none of that had occurred, oh my God, I would have missed out on some of the best times of my life if those couple of years had been carved out of just, nope, your classes are online, your job's online. Oof, feel sorry for the young people. I'm old and bitter. Indeed. It doesn't make any difference to us. We're old and bitter.
Well, and it's especially embittering because the young people are going to be 99.999% of them going to be perfectly fine even if they get a case of the Chinese bad fever.
I'm a nihilist. I got nothing going for me. But the young people that still have that spark of hope in their eyes.
A Luddite misanthrope nihilist. What a charming fella. Eh, boy. Yeah, kids, I tell you what, unless you're some completely paranoid lefty college student indoctrinated by your Marxist professor's cuckoo bird, venture out into the world. My kid, I shouldn't talk about my specific kids, but one of them lives in a very blue part of America and has just kind of seeped up the culture of being crazy COVID careful. Plus, she has some friends who are immune compromised. So it's, you know, it's a little more of a thing, but. And I worry because youngsters, you're going to be fine. You've got practically nothing to fear from the vid. Well, that overstates it. You have very little to fear. Maybe you're a long hauler. Maybe you get the mental fuzz for a while, but you know, and I came up with this weekend. I should have t-shirts made or motivational posters or something. Don't be so obsessed with not dying that you forget to live.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Thanks, brother. Thank you.
That's a good one.
Thank you. I'm Joe Getty.
And there's like a hawk soaring over a lake or something?
I hadn't thought about what animal, because you got to have an animal.
I don't know.
Hawk would be good.
Wolf howling at the moon.
I don't know. Kind of a cliche.
Both my kids have wolves howling at the moon t-shirts. They're very popular.
How about this? How about a big elk with a big rack? It's a reference to its horns, not its breasts. You know, like on a mountaintop staring into the distance. What do you think of that? Maybe there's a wolf in the background. I don't know.
Speaking of the vid, the only things you need to know about Omicron.
Omicron?
Omicron. There it is up there.
Omicron sounds like some TV technology of the 1970s. Zenith TV is with Omicron.
Stay tuned.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
We'll tell you everything you need to know about Omicron in the next segment, and it ain't much.
Yeah, a lot of question marks. Almost entirely question marks. It's the new scariant, if you haven't heard about it. But anyway, so this is not a lot of new stuff, but Miranda Devine, who writes for the New York Post, is out with a new book with a terrible title. It's all about Hunter Biden's laptop, Tony Bobulinski, Hunter Biden's business dealings, including with the Chinese, notably with the Chinese company, and Joe Biden's involvement in it. And it synthesizes, it puts everything together like a good reporter does to tell the story. It's unfortunately, the book is entitled Laptop from Hell, which is not a good title.
No.
But man, when you see it all put together, it is utterly clear to me, unless you think Tony Bobulinski, who he was on 60 Minutes, wasn't he? What was that big interview series he did?
That was Tucker.
Or was that Tucker?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Which, you know, so many people dismiss Tucker. I wish it would have been on 60 Minutes.
I was going to say, unless you think Tony Bobulinski is a lying crackpot.
And he doesn't sound like one.
Oh, no, no. He's a third-generation Navy veteran, which doesn't mean he can't be a crackpot, but, you know, he's the captain of his Penn State wrestling team, top security clearances. He was one of the high-up people running the Navy's nuclear school. I mean, just everything about him smacks of a straight arrow and a very, very smart guy. And he was the guy who was supposed to be running the joint venture between this Chinese energy company and inexplicably international Chinese energy expert Hunter Biden.
Hunter, you're a loser.
And it becomes clear, and this is all supported by all sorts of different stuff on the laptop, that, yeah, the old man was in for a 10% stake. His brother, Jim Biden, was the guy who made the comment to Bobulinski about we just have to have plausible deniability, which is why you never get into specifics with the big guy. It's just 30,000 feet stuff. He has to meet you, Tony Bobulinski, approve your involvement in the family business, but don't bring up specifics. And you know, I was reminded that the term plausible deniability became fashionable when Kennedy's aides, specifically the CIA, would intentionally keep him in the dark. So if the overthrow of some, democratically elected leader or whatever should come up, he would say, I was never briefed. I had no idea. And he was telling the truth. But man, you put all this stuff together. The old man has absolutely got a stake in the family business, and the family business is selling access and influence.
Let me jam in a little more on this. Jonathan Turley, law professor, George Washington University, who we like around here, had an article over the weekend. What elephant? The media again buries a Hunter Biden scandal on foreign deals during the Biden vice presidency. Jonathan Turley says, I previously wrote on the anniversary of the Hunter Biden laptop story that marveled at how the Bidens made the scandal vanish like Houdini's elephant in front of millions. In an encore, a new major story on Chinese dealings has surfaced, and once again, poof. In this case, you know, all the stuff Joe just went into that in this book, but just how Jonathan Turley's talking about how the media just has no interest in this story.
Just choosing to ignore it, even though, shoe on the other foot, it would be an enormous story, and folks, should be.
Yeah. So this new variant, the few things you need to know about it, and it ain't much.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Yeah. We do know that this is a variant that has a lot of mutations, like 50 of them, and more than 30 of those in the spike protein, which is the part of the virus that attaches to your human cells if you get infected. That is a new record in terms of the number of mutations. It does make you worry, therefore, that it's a sufficiently different virus that it might not respond as well to protection from the vaccines, but we don't know that.
A lot of mites and we don't knows, which is accurate. That's Francis Collins, who's a top doctor or something with somebody, who's on the TV all the time. So here's what you need to know about the
Fair
Omicron.
Enough. He's one of those doctors you see on the TV. But not like Dr. Oz, a real doctor.
Yeah, who has influence over government policy. So started in South Africa, they think. We have, as of today, banned travel from 8 different countries in southern Africa. Japan has banned travel from any country. Third biggest economy in the world. Won't allow anybody come in from any country. And a whole bunch of other countries around Europe have banned a lot of travel and stuff like that, too, around this Omicron. Because, as you just heard there, the makeup of the actual virus, it has the potential to be a bigger problem than Delta has been. It looks like it spreads faster. They don't know. Could it make you sicker? Well, the doctor in South Africa said she's seeing unusually mild symptoms, but all those people were young and vaccinated, so I'm not sure that tells you anything.
Right, that's not great evidence, but the trend or the tendency of viruses is to evolve to be less deadly. Because viruses want to spread, they don't want to kill their host, because as soon as the host is dead, they don't spread anymore. So I would love to see it's crazy contagious and utterly safe.
Right.
Practically nobody's going to die of it. And, you know, the home run ball would be, and the vaccines recognize it anyway, so it's no problem.
That's the third part. So there are three parts. How transmissible is it? How much does it, how easy is it to catch? How sick does it make you? And the vaccines work. We don't know any of those things and won't for a couple of weeks. That's all you need to know. It'll be a couple of weeks before we know those things. Then we will know them and we can react accordingly. I do think you should know this, though. Because there's a fair amount of talk about South Africa and how unvaccinated they are and how unfair it is that the United States and other rich countries have all this vaccine. They got plenty of vaccine in South Africa. People just didn't take it. All right. 5 of the 8 countries that we have banned travel from today have sent back vaccine and told the companies to stop sending it to them because people just aren't getting the shot.
People don't want it.
People don't want it for whatever reason.
Well, because of Trump. Wait a minute.
I don't know what the reason is, but.
Right, just a hesitancy to get jabbed.
So I guess.
That. Yeah.
We'll know in a couple of weeks.
Probably a final note on Thanksgiving. I gained 2.5 pounds.
Congratulations.
Over the last week or so. Yeah, I just, you know, it took everything I had. But, my self-control just went out the window. But anyway, so I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Ours was a little lonely because our kids didn't come because they don't love us. Also... Because it's a very long, expensive, pain-in-the-butt journey, and we'll get together soon in a different time.
And they probably had some fabulous Friendsgivings.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah, probably. But I came across this in the USA Today. What is Thanksgiving to indigenous people? A day of mourning.
Ah, jeez.
Okay. The whole original Thanksgiving feast.
Okay. How many people had that on their mind as they sat down to eat with their family?
Well,
how many of you think about that ever?
So there was a big dinner 400 years ago. We didn't have Thanksgiving in the country until Abe Lincoln declared a day of Thanksgiving in the 1860s because the Civil War went the right way. Again, with apologies to the South, it went the right way. So it's really, it dates from
Joe apologizing to slaveholders.
Well, not per se. If you're currently a slaveholder listening, stop it. Okay? Not cool. Anyway. So this USA Today is so woke now. I mean, it's just so annoying. But how do indigenous people spend Thanksgiving? For many, rather than a celebration of peace and shared prosperity between Native Americans and pilgrims, which is how nobody approaches it, by the way.
Right.
Thanksgiving represents the dark shadow of genocide and the resilience of Native people.
Aren't you fun?
Yeah, unbelievable. And they quote various, people about that sort of thing, and just unbelievable. You want to read something interesting? I should have retweeted it. Tim Sandifer retweeted a review he wrote a couple of years ago about a book that's just out in paperback now, I believe, by a colleague of his. But it's about the state of Native Americans, economically, socially, and that sort of thing. And they make the point that a lot of the things you think about Native American cultures, they had no private property. They weren't even familiar with the concept. Nobody owned land or blah, blah. A lot of that's bull-ass. It's like romantic era bull-ass that was enshrined in the law in the 1800s. And the laws on owning private property and getting mortgages and loans and that sort of thing within reservations is awful. It is devastating to the economic prospects of Native peoples. And it's just dumb law, too. It's indefensible. But it exists because certain people derive their power from it, and it's enshrined into, like, the American imagination that these are simple people with no private property and stuff. All that's bunk, by the way. And it's a great and really thought-provoking read. But anyway, I came across this. Rick Moran wrote it. We all know that history is not the left's favorite subject. Many times just too inconvenient for their political narratives, or history has to be erased or submerged to achieve the greater good, et cetera, et cetera. In truth, it's not that much better on the right.
Although generally conservative takes on American history is more nuanced, Christopher Columbus was an ass, a greedy, cruel, ambitious man who didn't let anyone stand in his way to achieve riches and power, especially native people. But he was courageous enough to cross an unknown ocean in a rickety ship with a mutinous crew. Do his sins outweigh the good he's done? It's not our call. Certainly not the call of biased, cretinous leftists who don't want to understand Columbus and only use his sins to illustrate their little morality play, et cetera, et cetera. But he does talk about American history did not begin in 1492. There have been human beings residing in North America for at least 20,000 years and probably longer. But the people who crossed the Bering Sea land bridge from Asia to North America during the last ice age may not have been the first humans to arrive here. Recent DNA evidence shows there have been several different migrations to North America, with Native American tribes being only the most recent. And that leads to an inescapable conclusion.
They killed off the other people.
Well, essentially, yeah. The Native Americans who were present on the North American continent when Europeans arrived were not the same Native Americans who arrived 20,000 years ago. DNA evidence tracks the migration of one early American civilization, the Clovis people, and reveals that they thrived in both North and South America until about 8,500 years ago. Blah, blah, blah. They think some of the early people to arrive on the North American continent were Europeans. But any hint that ancient Europeans settled in North America at about the same time as modern Native Americans cannot be countenanced, cannot be admitted by either Native American tribes or white liberals.
And the modern-ish Native Americans maybe wiped out those early Europeans because they had superior weapons and maybe diseases that the Europeans weren't immune to. Could have been in exactly the same sort of way.
And for the record, is somebody keeping a record? Nobody's keeping a record. For the record, if the European people were there first, those are my people, Jack, as I am of European stock. If that were the case, it'd make no effing difference on any in any way on any question. It's utterly irrelevant. What, are you going to go back 40,000 years to figure out who owned Manhattan and then give it to them? Number one, they've been dead a hell of a long time. And number two, it doesn't matter. There isn't a square foot of earth that hasn't run through the ownership of 50 to 50,000 different civilizations in human history. But again, the idea that, and they go into some of the various Kennewick Man and blah, 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 might have been here earlier or about the same time. Nobody can admit that because it upsets the whole narrative of those people were there first 20,000 years ago. Therefore, they're 75 to 7,500. I can't do the math. I can't be troubled. Generations later, they're the true owners of the land. According to what? According to whom? What species of animal on earth looks at ownership that way? Doesn't exist.
North Korea has banned leather jackets.
No, no.
After Kim Jong-un sparked a copycat craze. Apparently, he showed up to some big thing in a very cool-looking leather coat, and now that he's lost his weight, looking pretty sharp.
Styling, Kim. Styling,
anyway,
buddy.
A bunch of people decided they wanted to look like him. I thought that's the sort of thing that he encouraged in North Korea. Well, anyway, they've banned leather coats.
Kim Jong, don't be like me. No pie for breakfast. You stick with that diet plan. You look like $1 million.
Have you eaten
a million whatever currency?
Because my experience is you stop eating pie when the pie is gone.
That's precisely what's going to happen.
But not until.
Yeah, there are about two slices of cake left. It's half pie, half cake.
The day I throw out an edible piece of pie, homemade pie, store-bought pie I can throw out. Mm-hmm. But the day I throw out a piece of edible homemade pie, no, ain't going to happen.
A friend / vendor of mine gave us an enormous cheesecake. I mean... roughly the last thing we need. It was a nice gesture, though. He's a
wonderful
guy.
Size of a toilet seat?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was enormous. Yeah. It's a pumpkin cheesecake. It was really good, too.
Oh, boy.
It probably had 20 slices. It might have been more. It was so huge. But anyway, so we went to friends last night. They cooked up some turkey tetrazzini and turkey soup. Really making use of the leftovers. Mm. Me, anything beyond a turkey sandwich is unimaginable. It's one of my favorite things in the world. But anyway, so we go over there. We bring the giant cheesecake. And after, you know, the eating and the drinking and the stuff, we just say, well, we got to go zoom, boom, zoom. We got out the door before they could say, hey, take your cheesecake. So we got rid of it.
Oh,
yes.
Good one.
Yeah, had to.
Had to.
I definitely ate less this Thanksgiving season than any year of my life, but my life circumstances are odd right now. But, you know, now that I'm on the other side of it, it's a plus.
Oh, yeah.
During it, it was not. But
oh, I got a hell of a lot of work to do to undo the damage I've already done. Yeah. Not to mention all the cocktail this and dinner that and party this and Christmas and my wife's birthday and all. Oh,
yes,
pray
Michael.
For me, friends. Pray for me.
Yes, Michael.
The cheesecake, it made the news. Here's a clip.
Sounds like from your experience, you see someone actually walking away with a cheesecake there after the Cheesecake Factory was looted. Unclear where they may have gotten that.
Yeah. Oh, I have an idea. I have an idea where they got that.
We'll finish strong next.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We didn't even mention it. The president gave his speech about Omicron, the new Delta, the new coronavirus variant. He had nothing to say that's of any interest to anybody.
It's, our dotard president.
And pull that bad at care.
It's for the crowd that gives a crap what the government says about these things. And if you don't like me, then you didn't miss anything.
Yeah. We'll figure it out when we figure it out. Live your life. Just a little more. I found this essay on the whole question of Thanksgiving being a tragedy and the white man stole the Indians' land, blah, blah, blah. So interesting when you examine the DNA record of the thing and
how it may have been Europeans who were here before, the close relatives of the current Native Americans, how irrelevant it is anyway.
How'd they get here? Those, if that's true, those early Europeans, like the Vikings?
Yeah, could have been, I guess. And plus, so much of the world was frozen during the Ice Age that you'd have tribes just, you know, keep going in one direction until they find something that's not ice. But I don't know precisely. But anyway, it's irrelevant. But I thought this is a really good point because you hear this stuff a lot. And I'm not trying to excuse a lot of the things that
genocide. You're not trying to excuse genocide, Joe?
Well, for example, right. Yeah, I'm not. Anybody's genocide. But this Sam Rand points out, so what happened to these older primitive societies who were clearly present in North and Central America before modern Native Americans? They no doubt had what they considered their land to hunt and forage. Who stole it from them and wiped them out? It's not a simple question because there are so many holes in our knowledge of early North Americans. There may have been tribal conflicts and there may have been tribal marriages. The DNA record is silent about land claims, but is that really the point anyway? What happened to Native Americans when European settlers arrived was as tragic as what happened to the Celtic people when the Slavs and Huns invaded Celtic lands just 800 years before the arrival of North America of Columbus. 800 years before that. If anything, the Huns were even more brutal than Europeans were to native North and South Americans. They also massacred entire villages. They also brought disease and pestilence. To try to single out what happened to Native Americans as somehow uniquely brutal or unusually evil is ludicrous on its face.
Yeah.
It doesn't make what happened to Native Americans morally right to point out that the entire history of human civilization is replete with examples of deadly contact between civilizations. But it explains it in a way that needs to be understood by everyone, right, left, white, and Native American. And these conflicts have been part of the march of human progress for tens of thousands of years. Native Americans may mourn their lost lands and be enraged by the killing of so many other people, but for them to ignore the benefits of contact with Europeans is to ignore reality. There has never been an equal two-way exchange when civilizations clashed. White Europeans won out because, as author Jared Diamond pointed out, they had guns, germs, and steel, and Native peoples did not. This does not make white society better, only stronger. And then he goes into Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the 18th century philosopher, who pitched this idea of Native Americans as noble savages.
I almost brought that up last segment. I thought that's what's driving a lot of this, is that whole noble savage thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, people left on their own, our natural state of being is just free and fair and nonviolent and sharing everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not.
Rousseau, who is incredibly popular, saw Native Americans as noble savages. It's a racist view, but it's still quite popular, especially on the left. He believed the original man was free from sin, appetite, or the concept of right and wrong, and that those deemed savages were not brutal but noble. In fact, Native Americans before Columbus lived short, brutal lives, just like white people in Europe did. They could be just as devious as any white European. They could lie like Europeans. They could kill, just like white Europeans. Native Americans didn't need white Europeans to teach them how to do those things.
Yeah, how racist is it to say Indian, Native American, whatever you want to call the people, don't have human nature like the rest of us?
Yeah, I have one more thought that's really interesting and is a shot at Americans, but I'll save it for my final thought.
I don't want the show to be over, but I am ready.
Woo!
To listen to the final thought from Armstrong and Getty.
Here's your host for Final Thoughts, Joe Getty.
Final thought from everybody on the crew, Technical Director Michelangelo. Michael?
Yeah, with so many schools today being closed for Cyber Monday, drive safe. Watch out for the kids out there. Let's keep the holidays safe.
All right. Young Alex are behind the scenes. Yeah, I know. It's just ridiculous.
Safe driving for Cyber Monday.
Young Alex, a final thought for us?
Had a great Thanksgiving. I hope everybody and all of our listeners did, too. I wanted to wish a very special 94th birthday to the best play-by-play man I've ever heard, Vin Scully. Here's to you, Vin.
94. Wow.
Anyway, 0-2. Jack, a final thought for us?
Yeah, so Disney has released all of The Simpsons in China. Well, almost all The Simpsons. They left out the one episode in which The Simpsons are in Tiananmen Square. I don't actually that episode, but that episode is left out by Disney so as not to offend their overlords.
So anyway, 0-2.
Thanks, Vin. My final thought from that same essay. In American politics today, we don't do nuance. If the argument can't be reduced to 140 characters, it's not made. But as a society, we don't dwell on the past very much, a failing and huge advantage given the Jekyll and Hyde nature of our history. Samuel Johnson, British writer, said in our Revolutionary Times, why is it we hear the loudest yelps for freedom from the drivers of Negro slaves? It's a pretty decent point. Jekyll and Hyde, good and bad, powerful, victim, oppressor, it's always changing through history and always has.
Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling four-hour workday.
So many people to thank, so little time. Go to armstrongandgetty.com. You can get the show. If you missed a chunk of it, grab it via podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand. We've got some great A&G swag. Your friends and family members who like the show would really enjoy. We recommend you order it as quickly as possible so it gets there in time for Christmas. Armstrongandgetty.com.
Average American's going to gain 8 pounds during the holiday season. Get to work. Ooh. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless America.
Armstrong and Getty.
L-I-G-B.
Shooting an ass up under pressure.
Thank you, sir. Your time has expired.
I have to laugh at that.
People are singing these odd high voices, you know, like...
I've refused to get the vaccine till there's equity.
What is that voice?
I just... What voice? thank you for calling.
Emma.
Have a weary, weary Christmas.
We might.
I'm Joe Biden, and I forgot this message.
Thank you all very much.
Armstrong and Getty.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.